so that it'll silence the storm that you're facing. The storm that has been raging against you, or the storms that are to come. Because once you finish one storm, doesn't it feel like you're up against another? Do they just kind of just fade away? No, it seems like these storms just keep on raging on. Like every wave is another storm. Every lightning is a reminder that there's another one coming. Every roar of the thunder makes you realize that you're in the very thick of it. While I was watching this documentary, well, actually it was watching me. I fell asleep and I opened my eyes and all of a sudden I'm watching this documentary. Josh would come in. What are you watching? I have no clue. But it was about the storm chasers that go into the eye of the hurricanes. There's a piece there in the eye. But don't get fooled with the peace. Because what's about to come after that little short period of peace is the strongest portion of the storm. I said, Lord, that's ministering to me. He said, go back to sleep.
Okay.
I fell back asleep on the couch. And then I heard the Lord say, you don't know how to rest in me. You've labored to enter into my rest. You've labored. So I took it as what I was taught many years ago, that we have to work our faith. We have to get into that position so we can have rest. He says, no, if you rest in me, that means trust that I'm there with you in everything that you're going through. Doesn't it sound easy when God talks to you, but then sometimes you want to look at him like the disciples did and like, yeah. What? You want to look, how many of you saw Different Strokes? You remember Different Strokes? What you talking about, Willis? Y'all know about that one? Y'all need to watch some of these old school kind of shows. They were good shows. Go to the next slide, guys. Go to the next slide. On Wednesday, I started this, I want to call it a series of the seed. And he showed me the different stages of the kingdom of God. There is the sowing, which is putting the seed into the ground. And then there's a resting period. And then there's the sprouting. There's the harvest. So it was based out of Mark 26 to 29. Let's go to the next slide. Keep your eyes up here, guys. Mark 4:26, and we'll go down through 29. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. So what is he telling you? This is how the kingdom of God is. As if a man should cast seed upon the earth and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. Remember what the title was Wednesday night? I just don't know. I mean, you've gone through some of your seasons in your life. I just don't know how. I just don't even know why. Next slide. The earth beareth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. The earth is bearing fruit. But how can the earth bear fruit unless it's something been planted in it? Right? So you know that before you came here on earth, you were already thought of. Before you came into the thought of mama and daddy, you were purposed. Before you even had any inclination that you were even who you are, God had purpose for you. So then he sowed you where? Into the earth. But it had to go to a place for 9 months. Darkest time. Now we have all these sonograms that we can see the sex. We can see whether there's two in there. Three. Four. Five. Lord. But don't you wish you had that sonogram to see when my seed is about to produce and what it's about to produce, when it's about to come forth, how it's growing, how it's being maintained, hear the heartbeat, to see everything that's inside of you, to be able to see it before it even comes forth. Wouldn't it be great? How many want that sonogram available to you? that you are able to see through it. Y'all want it? You want me to give it to you? Yeah? It's right here. It's right here. It's the Word of God. I thought, Pastor, I thought you were going to give me some deep revelation right there. I gave you all the revelation. Genesis to Revelation. And if it's a study Bible, I even gave you the notes. And if you don't know where the books are, I even label it right here for you. Put it in a tab for you. See, he gives us the Word, and the Word is that seed that produces inside of us. And when I started going on this seed, I knew that God was going to show us something concerning what we needed to do. It says in the very scripture that I read here is that the man would sleep, and he would wake, and then he would see his harvest. And he just didn't know how it would happen. Okay. This was a farmer that should have known, right? Farmer should have known how it happened. Well, you work at it. You put water out there. You till the ground. You do the scarecrows to keep the birds away, right? Well, yesterday, I was getting ready to leave. I was going to go run some errands, and I walk outside, and I see one of the biggest ravens I've ever seen. And you don't see ravens. You see crows, the black ones. Now, the crows is nothing compared to this raven I saw. This raven looked like one of those buzzards. This is how big it was. So immediately my spirit was quickened. Watch this. I know this is prophetic. I said, oh, so this is the raven? Go get my money. Go get my money. You know that you can command the ravens to bring you your resources. This was given to me today. This was not mine. It says, go. I told the bird, go get my money. So I'm sitting, I'm telling God, your word says you did it for the prophet. And I'm not a prophet of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, I'm a prophet of the New Testament. I have a better covenant. So I said, if you did it for one, you're not a respected person. Go get my money. Don't look at me crazy. I'm not about money. I'm not. The world is. That means my bills need to be paid.
That's right.
My food isn't free. Thank you for the euros. Your internet. Your phone bill. Your donuts. Your coffee, your AC. So that's why I said, God, go get my stuff. Go get my stuff. I had read a scripture, and it was concerning how the widow that went to the brook, watch this, to that same prophet that was getting fed by the raven, the brook had dried up. Some of the resources that have been coming your way, you feel like it's been dried up. Have you experienced some dryness in your life? What do you do when your skin gets dry? Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be looking ashy. Back in the day, you with lotion. Just don't do that and do it to your feet and do it again. But look. So the brook had dried up. Follow me. Sometimes those resources that are drying up are to get you to where you need to be. This is free for you. This is free. This is the belong. This is the free one. When the resources dry up, because the ravens stop bringing food. The ravens stop bringing the meat. Oh, karadabasa. Sometimes you got to transfer out of one place to go in another place to get what God really wants for you to have. You may not understand why all of a sudden you've transitioned out of one place, because maybe what you were eating is no longer going to be good for you for where you're going. But if he keeps feeding you, you'll stay. And you won't transition. We were laughing as Lionel was giving his analogy with the food. A certain someone in the second row, Colleen, says, you guys in food. Every time there's a transition, food is talked about in the Bible. He tells Joshua, go prepare your food for in 3 days. What's about to happen? You're crossing over. Jesus with the disciples, if they call the Last Supper, I said it's the Great Supper, because he speaks the truth. And guess what happens? They cross over to a new dimension. The prophet of the old, something ran out. The food ran out. The water ran out. But watch what came. Instructions for where for him to go. Somebody else's provisions were running out. See, some of the famine that's in your life and what you're going through, whether it be spiritual, I need some different spiritual food. You better know that God told you to leave. Because you may get somewhere else and really get. Yeah, you're going to get some food, all right. But it ain't going to be good food for you. Don't get it twisted. It'd be great food for the person next to you, but food for you, it's not going to be satisfying. You have got to go where God tells you to go. Because in that, there's where the blessing is. You understand? In that famine that that prophet had prophesied about was about to end out of his mouth when he was to speak it. He prophesied it into existence. You think, God, oh, my God, someone needs to hear this. You think you're going to perish before your work is done? He wasn't going to let them perish because he had to speak that word to reverse the very thing of that famine. Ooh, y'all going through some hardships right now? Who's going through some hardships right now? Who's going through some stuff that like, Lord, I just don't know. Well, you're not going to perish in it. He's going to take you to that place so you can fulfill it. He said, I'm going to take you to a place so that the widow can provide. I've already commanded the widow to provide for you. Has God ever commanded you to do something in the very last that you have where you feel like you're not going to get enough, you're not going to make enough, and you just don't have enough? Did it go too far? Have you ever been in a place that God has commanded you to give all you've got and you can't give no more? And you think, that's it, my tank is empty. Good, now I'm about to fill it up for you with something different. But it's going to require you to be tested. Tested. How many of you been tested? You being tested? I hate the test. I hate the test. But in the test of the widow, that's what she said. I have a little cake. For me and my son, I'm going to bake it so we can eat it and die. The prophet, the cold prophet, sure. Tell me to get my last tortilla. You out your mind. I had that thing on that rock and it was baking so much it crispy outside, but the inside was nice. As a matter of fact, the aroma went before the Lord. I know something's coming because I can sense it in my spirit. Something's coming. And that widow looked over at that prophet. The prophet said, before you do that, give it to me. Oh, you don't. If you're going through something and God has called you to give even more, I ain't talking about money. God's not even interested in your money. He's interested in your obedience to him. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. This is what he said to the prophet first. I've already commanded a widow to give to you. So can you imagine the widow thinking, I know the Lord spoke to me, but I got to give this to my son. Because my son cries for food all the time. You're right, mama. How many of you get grouchy when you're hungry? Come on. How many of you get real grouchy when you're on a fast? You better know God put you on a fast. The devil and me, we walk hand in hand when I'm on a fast. You don't know. Leave me alone. So can you imagine how that boy, first of all, has no daddy no more. Oh. Has no headship. Has no guidance. Has no means. When mama said, we got to give this to the prophet. It isn't right what the child said. Because in 2016, guess what the child would have done? Would have overpowered mama and eaten it and lost the very blessing. Because God commanded the widow she had to be obedient to give the very last thing. Watch this. You don't read where she suffered anymore. The famine ended, and she was in her abundance. The child didn't die. She didn't die. Matter of fact, she got so blessed because she obeyed. She obeyed. Who did she obey? The prophet?
God.
God commanded. So this should give you some peace. If a man commands, who are you? If a prophet commands, who are you? Lest God already commanded you first to respond. Amen? Told you that was free. That was free. Next slide. Mark 4:29, this is at the ending of that scripture. But when the fruit is ripe, straightway he put it forth the sickle, because the harvest is come. The harvest is come. When does the harvest come? When you just don't know. When does the harvest come? When you just don't know. Next slide. You are the seed, Galatians 3:29. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. Amen. You're the seed, right? You're the seed. So you're going to go through some stuff, right? Yeah, we are. We are. Next one. What must we do? Sleep. Say it with me. Sleep. But just not in church. Rest in him. Why does it require, why does your body require sleep? To what? To rejuvenate. To get recharged, re-energized, ready for a new day. But if your spirit isn't at rest, how does it get recharged? So what is the trick of the enemy? Get you so tired, fighting the wrong battles. When you fight the wrong battles, how are you going to get victory? That's not the battlefield that you're supposed to be on. You can't fight a battle if you're on the wrong battlefield. You've got to be on the battlefield that he's called you to be on. Amen? Next slide. Those are all your scriptures from what I'm about to share with you. Write them down. Make it plain. So that all that read it can run with it. Hebrews 4, 1 through 13. Judges 3, 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 11. James 1, 1 through 4. And again, verses 12 through 18. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 through 25. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. And Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14. We'll leave that up so they can write it down. Take your pictures, whatever you need. But turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews 4, verse 1. I've got 30 minutes to mount this, release this, and empower this in your life. And I believe the Holy Spirit will grace me with that. If you would, turn to Hebrews 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And when you're there, say amen. When you're there, say, I got it. When you're there, say, preach, Pastor. Okay, let me read it first, and then I will. Hebrews 4, I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not unified by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has rested from his works as God did from his. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you as we progress in your word. Lord, I thank you that you will show us how to enter your rest. Father, I thank you that right now they don't see me, but they hear you and see you. Let me decrease and you increase, Father. Let it be your words that have gone forth that will not fall to the ground. Let your words penetrate to the deepest part of their soul and into their hearts, Lord. Let it penetrate, O God, so it'll be the seed that is deposited into their soul, deposited into their heart, so they can produce a harvest out of your word. So, Father, I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. The testing is in his plan. The testing is in his plan. In Hebrews, it's talking about how we don't enter his rest is based on disobedience. Now, I talked to you about the woman, the widow. He put it in her heart. She had to obey. When she obeyed, she received an increase. She didn't die. But those that do not enter his rest are because they're disobedient. Has God caused you to do something, called you to do something, and you still haven't done it? So everybody in here is doing it, right? Everybody's working it, doing it, walking in the very thing God has called them to do. Yes? You think you are, right? Because that's how we are. We think, yes, we think we are. Yes, God, I'm doing it. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. Then how come we're not getting rest if we're being obedient? He just said, I'm not going to give them rest to those that are disobedient. I said, Lord, I don't want you to keep my rest away from me. I want to be in peace. He says, then obey. My word has to be living and active in your life. It has to separate soul and spirit. It has to separate the joints, and it says the marrow. It didn't say the bone. It said the joints and the marrow. Why does it say the marrow, not the bones? The reason why the word is going to do, it's going to get deeper. What is the bone? The bone is the outer covering that protects the marrow. But sometimes your bones become so brittle that it exposes the marrow. And when it loses the marrow, your bones get even more brittle and they will dry up, crack, break. The word will get into the very inner part and rebuild, strengthen you, fortify you, and raise you back up. Amen? The testing is in his plan. Judges 3, 1 through 4, please. Judges 3, 1 through 4. In Judges, it talks about in verse 3, these are the nations the Lord left to test all the Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. Are you there? Are you hearing what? Who left those tribes? The Lord left those tribes to do what? To test who? The Israelites. Do you know that anytime you read Israelites in Israel, that's you? The church, Israel, that's us. Okay? So God left them to test us. Watch what it says in verse 3. It says, who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. Where were the wars? In Canaan. Verse 2, he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not previously had previous battle experience. Is God setting you up? Is he setting you up to teach you something? Yeah, well, he's setting us up. He's preparing us for what is to come. Your hardships are there because he's preparing you for what is to come. What you used to and how you used to battle before spiritual warfare is not going to do it in this new land. He said in Canaan, where was Canaan? It was across the Jordan. It was across the place they had not been before. It was a new place where they were going, but they had not experienced this kind of warfare. We want to have all kinds of training for where we're going. How many of you want training for where you're going? You want to know what you're about to experience. You want that sonogram. You want that x-ray to be able to see. I want to be able to see into the future. I want to be able to see what is coming my way. And you know that he's already given that to you? That's called discernment. And he does that to prepare you for what is coming. Watch this. Then he lists who they are. Verse 3. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. What you said, God, you did what? God, you left. You left these folks so they can test me? I don't want them. I'm not even going to break down these tribes and what they mean. Just the mere fact he left one. How many tribes are you fighting right now? Have you gotten past one of them? See, the first one that he lists is the Philistines. Those are the big ones. Those are the giants. But he didn't just leave them. Watch this. He says, I left the five rulers of the Philistines. Oh, come on. There's some stuff that you're fighting. There's some people that you're up against that are in your life to test you. And what is he testing you on? Because, you know, we're quick to write people off. What? No. Mm-mm. You took the donut that had that jelly filled in there. There was only one. That was mine. You took it. No. We ain't friends no more. But Mom, no. You don't think that your children are the ones that were left to test you? What do you mean you came in at 3 o'clock in the morning? Oh, my, it's 12 o'clock. Fire. Look at here. Don't give all the secrets away. Some of these tribes are in your promised land. Is that what it says? Some of them? No. It says these particular five are in the promised land that God left for you to be tested. Are you being tested? Are you being tested? Yeah? Then you're in your promised land. You are in the promised land, but you haven't dealt right with the test. I can't handle this no more. Just help me, because they're sleeping here. I can't handle this no more. I'm going to shut it down. I'm quitting. I'm done. With what? Your life? You think because you're going to step away from something that it's not going to come back? It's going to keep coming back till you learn how to pass the test. You, have you been through a test? Because y'all, college, right? Y'all been through a test. And once you finish that test, sorry. Congratulations. Way to go. Hey. Adulthood is next. Real test. Real test. You can attest to it. Real test. I'm telling you. Ooh. Make sure they're on. Listen. If you're facing something right now in your life, and I rebuke it, and it don't leave, how are you going to rebuke God? I bind that devil. God's like, I ain't no devil. I feel my helper already now. How are you going to rebuke God when he says, I'm the one that assigned them to test you? I'm the one that put them in the midst of where you're at in your promised land to teach you a different kind of warfare. Because when you were dependent on me in the wilderness, I fought for you. And then when you did have to go and fight, I went with you. But now when I put you into the promised land, it's time for you to pick up your sword that will divide, which is the word of God. It'll divide truth. We don't wanna get into the word because I just don't understand it. You ain't prepared yourself to read the word. You gotta prepare your heart before you read the word. Yeah, if you got some art with your brother, what does that mean? Quit talking all this Christian lingo. I don't understand. If you got an issue with your mama, your brother, your sister, your pastor, your auntie, go make it right. Because he won't even accept your sacrifice. I got unforgiveness. You better learn to forgive real quick. Because what did he tell them? I just want to see if they'll be obedient. It's easy to be obedient when everything's going good. Sure, my bills are paid, hey. I even got money to go on a cruise, hey. I even got money for the barbecue. But what about if you don't have enough and you got to really trust on God? And then you've got all of this mess all around you, which usually causes you to have unforgiveness because he's using someone, not a thing. If he's using someone, what does he instruct us to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Second Corinthians 2:9, verse 9 through 11. The test of obedience. For this why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. Verse 11. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan. for we are not ignorant of his designs. Wait a minute, what? What's that talking about? You know that God forgives everybody. But he puts a stipulation there. You need to forgive first so that you can be forgiven. Right? I only forgive certain people, though. Some of them, I don't know when I'm going to forgive them, but I'll forgive them. I don't know when, but I will, God. Let me get there. Eventually, I'll get there. Eventually, I'll work all that stuff out my nerves. I'll forgive them. He says, son, you better quickly forgive. You better quickly get rid of all that mess, because if you don't forgive, I'm about to bring to remembrance to you how I forgave you. Some of y'all, y'all have been forgiven of much, much. If truth be told, we couldn't even tell your testimony for real. Because some people get a little offended if you tell the truth about your testimony. So I'm going to role play in my testimony. I was a hooker. You were a hooker? You did what? You sold your body for money? What? How much you made? Yeah, they don't feel me. They don't feel me. Sometimes people tell the truth and then they're like, I can't believe it. God forgave you? God forgave you? And I'll argue with you still a little something on the side. See, God will forgive you of your mess. You first have to forgive yourself that you committed it. Someone hurt you? Some of y'all go back to old school. I don't understand this. Point that thing right side up, man. Are you trying to shoot the gun and throw the bullet? See, we go back to a ways that we know we should have never went. You're no longer your former. You're a new creature in God. You know how you defeat the plan of the enemy? Forgive. Oh my God, I just need revelation. I need something deeper so that I can grow. Forgive. You release yourself from that bondage once you let it go. Forgive. If you're so worried about people talking about you, thick skin, baby. They're going to come at you day in, day out, and they're going to keep talking about you. Why? The Bible says it this way. Jesus himself says, they don't persecute you, they persecute me. I'm the one getting attacked. Oh, it's because of me, because of the love you have for me. That's why Peter said, I only like you. Peter didn't want to follow after him no more. I'm tired. But he addressed that in him. You know I love you more than anything in this world, but the walk is hard. It's too difficult. Feed my sheep. He didn't even listen to the gripes and the complaints. What you talking about? You don't want to hear why? No, I don't really care why. Feed my sheep. Well, see, I didn't go to seminary school. I ain't asking you why you don't want to do it. Feed my sheep. But you don't understand, people are coming against me. I didn't ask you. I said, feed my sheep. I'm a fisherman. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I didn't ask you. Feed my sheep. He didn't ask you your qualifications. He didn't ask you for your resume. He didn't ask permission, first of all. The moment you said yes to the Lord, that meant he rules and reigns and lords in your life. So that when he commands, you don't have a choice. You have to obey. I just wait till I'm ready. That's disobedience. Oh, I don't want to start a church. Not me. Shoot. You know when the lip starts in the bottom there? Because you know some things are hard in life. You don't want to do it, God. Fear not, I'm with you. I still don't want to do it. You don't know them people. He says, I know them better than you. They lie about me. They lie about me too. Well, they want to kill me. They want to kill me too. They want to hang me. They did to me. What are you going to tell Jesus that he hasn't gone through? What are you going to tell him? You don't know. I feel alone. Jesus felt alone on the cross. For the very first time, he felt like, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? You don't think Jesus was alone? What about when they put him in the tomb? And all hope was gone. Disciples believed in the message, but they didn't believe that he would rise. Disciples believed that he was a healer, but they didn't believe that he could get up. They believed that he could multiply things, but they didn't believe that he could get up and get out of the grave. How many times have you followed something that you believe, but you don't see the fruit of it? And then all of a sudden it's put into something dark and dismal. You can't see beyond it because something is rolled in front of it. You can't see into what's inside. But I've heard the word, God, and I believe what you said, but I can't see the fruit of it yet. When they put Jesus in the tomb, that was a seed of faith into the earth. What did the earth do? It produced its harvest. It only took 3 days. Many scholars want to say it was weeks. Every day was a week. When I read scripture, I read it for what God tells me it is. It was 3 days in the grave, 3 days in the grave. He rose again. I'm here to tell you that Christ is rising in your circumstances. There's nothing too difficult for him. Nothing. Whatever you're going through, whatever storm, you're going to make it through. You will. It may not be the outcome you want. But you shouldn't want your outcome. You should want his outcome. Jesus didn't want the outcome that Daddy had for him. So he goes into a garden. Why a garden? Because there's where seed is planted. There's where seeds of faith are planted. It's in a garden. So he goes into the garden. And it says that he began to pray unto the Father. And he prayed so intensely that it began to sweat tears. I mean, blood. What was that doing? It was guarding your seed. It was guarding your seed, covering the blood in the garden. The Garden of Gethsemane is where he prayed unto the Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. Take it. I don't want to do it. Because he just didn't know how. What? Jesus didn't know? I believe he saw exactly where he was going. He had the ability to see beyond. He saw it all. That's why he cried, said, no, take it from me. But if it's your will, then I receive it. And I'll be obedient. And he took the cup of wrath, sin, the whole world. Not during that time. But for every human being here on this earth. He took sin. And he took it upon himself. He was judged for it. You ever felt like you're being judged for something you've done? Did we sow seeds of discord and now you're reaping the harvest of it? Are we sowing seeds of division and you're reaping the harvest of it? The simple way, the kingdom way, repent. You know why it's so difficult? Because we don't want to repent. We don't want to forgive. And we stay in disobedience. When you stay in disobedience, you don't find rest. But when you obey and forgive, you enter his rest. Amen? Here's the testing of your faith. James 1, 1 through 4. Start at number 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The book of James is about faith. But before we can understand steadfastness, that's what I said, steadfastness. To be steadfast is to be fixed in a direction, steadily directed, unwavering, as like resolution, faith, adherence, firmly established, firmly fixed in a place or position. So if this test is producing this in you, he's teaching you how to be still. So when the scripture comes to you, be still and know that I'm God. You know why he's telling you be still? Because you've been going through a season. You've been going through a test. You've been going through the trials. Be still. What is that? Steadfast. Don't move. Stay fast. Verse 4 says, then at the end, you will be made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Isn't that beautiful? Lacking in, how many would you like to have that come to pass in your life? Lacking in nothing. Right? No lacking in finances. Amen. No lacking in your faith. Your health, the protection. No lacking in anything. Whatever you're in need, it was there. Right? That's what steadfast will do. All the trials and battles that you are working for, are working towards, are for your good, to build your trust and faith in him. What about when you lose a loved one? What about a broken marriage? What about a child that has been lost to drugs, alcohol, pornography? What about being molested or raped? Or the death of someone that was taken by the hands of somebody else? Will you still trust him? Those are real trials, aren't they? Those are real tests. How can you still praise him and worship him? Because he's there for you in the midst of the storm. We all have our trials. We all have our circumstances. We all have our battles. But these battles are preparing you for the blessings. James 1, verses 12 through 18. Bless is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, beloved. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. If his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Remain fixed, steadfast. The blessings of God will become manifest in your life. Do not be lured by your own desires. Trust God. You've got to trust God in this. Rest in his promise. 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. He has deposited seed inside of you. How many have been gone through life and people has given you a word, spoken a word of truth to you? Someone has deposited seed into your life. The job of them is to deposit, but God's job is to make it come forth. It's deposited into your heart and into your soul and your spirit. 1 Peter 1:22 through 25. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. How many of you know that when you, before you got saved, someone dropped a seed into your life concerning salvation? Then after salvation, after the seed of salvation is given, guess what is asked of you next? Do you believe? Do you believe? If you really believe, then it says that what are you to do? If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died for your sins, he resurrected. If you believe all of that, which you never saw, you've only read. You weren't there to witness it all, but you've only read it. That's a serious kind of faith right there. But if you believe it, then you confess with your mouth and you accept it, right? Real belief and real prayer, you got to open your mouth. You got to believe in your heart what you're about to pray. And I'm going to close with this. God wants us in our prayer mode. But what we're praying, we have to believe. What we pray, we must believe so that when we open our mouth, that's what we're declaring. So how are we going to declare what we believe if we've been going through a test? And if we're going through some hard times? If the enemy's trying to take all that's been given to you, and you're facing all these kind of tribes and all these kinds of people and all these kind of trials in your life, how are you really going to pray? Are you going to pray your emotions, or are you going to pray with the Spirit of God? So what do you think the trick of the enemy is? Get you so focused to pray emotionally instead of spiritually. That's why you'll enter the rest. How many of you can forgive the one that's hurt you? Hurt you bad. That it reminds you of the wound that is there. And God instructs us to forgive. How many of you have been wounded in relationships? Yeah, relationships hurt, right? Every relationship gets tested. Your relationship with God gets tested. Your relationship in your family gets tested. Your spouse, your children, grandma, grandpa, cousins, aunties, uncles. Just go down the list. Go get tested. What are you to do? Forgive. Got to. Because then you'll never enter his rest. You won't. You'll have turmoil in your spirit. And when you have turmoil in your spirit, the Bible says you don't enter his rest. Only some that have heard the good news will enter the rest. What is he saying? He's speaking to believers. My believers of this word should already know what they're supposed to do. But if they don't do it, I, God said, I will not give them rest because of their disobedience. That's Lord, I forgive. Well, you got to mean it from your heart. Okay, God, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them for hurting me. I forgive them for taking advantage of me. I forgive myself for holding this over their life and over my life. So I cut this cord so I can be loosed. Forgiveness isn't for them. It's for you. It's hard to let go. But if you let go, God lets go. And what you're in need of, nothing lacking. Nothing lacking. I don't know about you. Well, I had to ask for forgiveness from a lot of people in my life. Some of them I couldn't even find in life. Sat in my closet, went through a whole list. I was a bad boy. And the Lord says, you're not a bad boy, you just did bad things. You're a child of God. You're making things right. Keep on, son. Keep on. Because in life, people are going to hurt you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to come against you. But they don't do it against you. They do it against me. Because you're standing for something that you believe in. And because you stand for what you believe in, that's what they're trying to get from you. So just remember, son, don't hold a grudge. Okay? It hurts just to remind you. But you can get over it with me. But by yourself, you can't process this. I have plans for you. I have plans for you. What are those plans? What's the last scripture? How many of you know it's impossible to please God, right? Without faith. But with faith, is what pleases God. Faith is not something that's going to come easy to you. Faith tests you to see if you really will stand and be steadfast in what you believe. Jeremiah 29:10-14. Verse 10 says, this is what the Lord says, you will be in Babylon for 70 years. What jubilee is this? 70th jubilee. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Babylon represents the world. Be tested of the world. In a world system trying to dominate, rule over you. The Babylonians were always the ones, a tribe, the people that ruled over the people of God. The Babylonians were the ones that kept them in captivity. Hear this. Your jubilee is now. Your jubilee is now. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land. What is that? He's bringing you into his peace, his rest. Maybe you've been scattered abroad. Maybe you've gone through some things where your faith is taking you outside of the realm of truly believing in him and has made you doubt. But he's calling you back. The 70 years of captivity that the people of God were in were getting ready to be restored back into their promise, back into their land. The things that were taken away, the things that were stolen, the things that were stripped from them are now again come back to them. What do you think that was coming back to them in the way that they knew? No. Something different. Changed. A whole new thing was coming back to them. Why? They were in a new land. The battles that they were fighting were not the battles that they knew before. In the desert, you can see when they're coming. But when you're in Canaan, there's forests everywhere. There's trees everywhere. There's an ambush always waiting for you. So he has to teach you what to look for, what to discern, so that you're better prepared for the next battle. Everything that you're fighting right now and everything that you're up against, it's testing your faith. And it's building hope in you if you are steadfast in him. Immovable. Planted and rooted. Watch what he'll do for you. How many of you want that peace? Want that rest? Knowing that he's got you. I know I want that. But seasons that we go through, the trials that we go through, how is it, God, that we get through this? Because it seems like it's a long period. It seems like this season just goes on and on and on and on. So, son, if you would just listen to my spirit when I prompt you to do a certain thing, the moment you become obedient to me, watch when I take you out. I'm taking you out of some things to put you into his rest. What the enemy has meant for evil, God is turning it for your good. Amen. Stand to your feet.